You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Let's get started today with the Word. And before we do, I want us just to pray. If you don't mind, I'd like to pray before we minister today. And what I want us to pray today is simply this, that God will allow all of us to have an open mind and an open heart to what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the problem with the Holy Spirit right off the bat that I need to tell you is that we've all come from different backgrounds and we've all been taught different things. And we'll get into that in a minute. But there are some folks that what I'm saying today about the Holy Spirit, you're going to get mad at me and you're going to say, that's not the Holy Spirit. Bless God, the Holy Spirit's of the devil. You know, you need to go back, you know, to stop talking about that. And then other folks are going to be saying, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more than that. It's bigger than that. And so everybody's going to have a different opinion today. So what I want to do is I want to cut out all the opinions. Someone told me one time, they said opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one and most of them stink. Amen? And so we got to cut that out this morning and allow the Holy Spirit Himself to speak to us through His Word. So let's pray. Lord, we love You and we thank You. And we just ask that You would speak to our hearts today. We ask that Your Word would come alive as we study it together. God, this isn't so much me teaching and preaching as it is a family get together today as we open up Your Word and we discover what Your Holy Spirit is all about in our lives. So we just ask today for those of us that may not be the smartest in the whole world, that may not be theologians like myself, God, that You would just open up the Word to us in a simple, practical way that we could receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me clarify that prayer. When I said theologians like myself, I meant not a theologian like my... In other words, I'm not a theologian. Just some of y'all are sitting back there going, man, that dude is prideful in his prayers, man. Golly, just put us down. No, those of y'all that know me, you know that ain't the truth. Here's a thing that I've noticed in church worldwide, universal church. Not in this church in particular, but in all the churches. I've noticed a lot of confusion, a lot of arguments, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And really, honestly, for the most part, it's concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And really, honestly, it's not even all the gifts of the Spirit. It's just like two or three gifts of the Spirit. Because ain't nobody in here fighting and arguing about the gift of faith or the gift of teaching, right? Like nobody, everybody's like, yeah, I believe in faith and I believe in teaching. I've never seen a pastor of any denomination say he doesn't believe in faith. But you start talking about prophesying, you start talking about tongues, then all of a sudden everybody starts choking on it, and it divides the church. And so what I want to do today is I just want to take a look at some of the things the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And really, honestly, some of what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit can get confusing because the Bible will use terms that seem similar but maybe different. And so now we've got people. Yesterday, as I was studying, I had lots of time to study because LSU was on a bye week. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. And so yesterday, as I was studying and just going over my notes, one of the things I noticed was, like, if I just Googled, let's say, for instance, the difference between being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit, terms that we use often, and, like, all of a sudden all this stuff pops up, these blogs and these different preachers, and they're saying different things. And so some people believe that there is no baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some people believe there is baptism. Some people believe that you have to be filled in order to be saved. And some people say if you don't, you know, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're of the devil. And everybody's got an opinion. And so in looking at that, I thought about, well, God, what if I could break down the Holy Spirit, which is totally impossible to break down something that huge, right? Like, you understand, none of us will ever grasp everything that God has for us. He's just too big for our little minds to understand. And so we'll never understand everything. And so I thought, how can we take something so big and really take it to where we could all consume it? And it's the whole theory behind how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? Like you don't try and shove the whole thing in your mouth. And so today what I want to do is I just want to take a little bite out of the Holy Spirit. Just one basic thought out of the Holy Spirit that I feel like we could apply to our lives today. Whether you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for 1,000 years or whether you've never heard the name of Jesus, I want to give you something today that you can take and you can apply to your life. And before we get into that though, we need to understand of basics, a 101 on who the Holy Spirit is. And so in your notes today, I did put some spots on there for you to write some stuff. And then I also included just random note lines, only because, to be honest with you, in all my studying, I probably have about 3 or 4 different messages that I want to preach, and I just honestly didn't know which one I was going to preach. And so I just thought, up until like this morning, it was like, okay, I'm going to stick with this one. You know, so that's why you just got random lines on there. That way you know how that works. So if you ever see random lines on there, that means I didn't know what I was talking about. So the first thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is, number one, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now this is confusing to every believer and every person, in my opinion. When you start talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, everybody gets a little bit sideways on that one. And if I were to go through the crowd today and begin to ask you to explain the Trinity, explain the three parts of God, then I think I would get a bunch of different answers, and a lot of them would probably sound good. And so I'm not going to try and argue with you over that, but I will say this. I believe in a three-part God. This church as a whole believes in a three-part God. It's not that we believe in three different gods. Sometimes that can get confusing. It's the same theory someone told me this morning. If you take H2O, who knows what H2O is?
Water.
Wrong. H2O is not just water, because H2O has different forms it can come in, right? It was a trick question, I know. It can be water in a liquid, but it can also be steam in a gas form. It can also be ice in a solid form. But isn't it all H2O? Of course it is. But each form that it comes in serves a different purpose. You wouldn't use steam to try and freeze something. And you wouldn't use ice to try and power a train. You wouldn't take water, right, and try and boil something by just pouring it on there, right? So we got to understand that every aspect of water has its own purpose. It's the same way with God. God is one God, H2O, but He manifests Himself, or in other words, reveals Himself in three different manners. One is God the Father, the big man upstairs everybody talks about. You know, I hate it when people say that. God the Father. And God the Father, when I notice God the Father, one of the things I see about Him is often in the Bible you see a lot of emotion out of God the Father. He talks about agape love. He talks about the uncompromising kind of love that He has, unconditional love that He has. He talks about being angry. He talks about being jealous for His people. He uses these terms that are very emotional when describing God the Father. God the Father, also the Bible also talks about His thoughts. It says His thoughts are above our thoughts. He doesn't think like we think. And it talks about the will of God. So we look at God the Father and we see mind, will, and emotions. And then we look at Jesus. Jesus is the body of God. In other words, whenever God wanted and needed to show up on earth, He showed up in the form of a man. And that man was Jesus. And so He is the body. And then you've got the Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has been with us from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And then the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride, or the church, say, come. In other words, they're calling out to God, come back to the earth and set up your kingdom. And so we've got the Holy Spirit throughout the entire book called the Bible. So He's with us in the beginning, He's with us in the end, He's with us in the middle. So we've got this thing called the Holy Spirit, and He is God, just in the form of a spirit, right? Okay, the second thing is this, and let me point out this to you before I get into the second thing. When we talk about that, those of you that are, who's all going through life right now? Who's going through our life small groups? Yeah. So you guys are right on board with me right now, because you know we've been talking about the three parts of us, soul, spirit, and body. And can you see now how those three things correlate with the three parts of God? That we ourselves, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, we are spirit, that part of us that lives forever. And then we are body, this part that decays, right? And so we're three parts, and so is God. And then the second thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit has a specific job. The Holy Spirit has a job. And we don't often think about God having a job, but He does. And I want to show you just a couple of things. There's a long, long list, and I could go through lots of Scripture, but it would lengthen out this message too much. And that is this. A couple of things you need to know about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that He will comfort us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. In our pain, in our hurting, in our terrible times, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a comforter, that is His job as comforter. The Bible says He will teach us. Jesus speaking says that He will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit Himself does that. Now, how does He do that, Pastor? Sometimes He teaches us just by speaking to our hearts. Sometimes He teaches us by using people like me. Sometimes He teaches us by using each other in circumstances. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us and teaches us. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. The Bible talks about that in the book of Acts. And it says that He gives us this ability to witness, to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Even in the New Testament, the believers cried out to God for God to pour out His Spirit on them so that they could have boldness because they were being persecuted by the Romans and the Jews. And they said, we need more boldness to go out and tell people about Jesus. So it's important to understand that. But most importantly, He reveals Jesus to us and through us. That's the most important part. If you don't get anything else about the Holy Spirit, you need to understand today that He reveals Jesus to you and through you. So whenever we start wondering who Jesus is, when we start wanting to know, and that's how people can say, we were talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about how, well, what if somebody lives in this far part of the earth and they never hear the name of Jesus? I believe that the Holy Spirit, and the Bible even says, even creation speaks of God. I believe the Holy Spirit Himself can reveal Jesus to people, even if they never hear a preacher talk about it. And we don't think about that too much, but I believe that's true. But we need to also remember that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus through us. So today, if the Holy Spirit is not revealing Jesus through you today, then we got a problem. There's something in us that's sideways that we need to get fixed. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to use us. And the third thing is this, the Holy Spirit has a home. The Holy Spirit has a home. Now Jesus, you know, He's in heaven and in God. He's in heaven and everywhere. The Bible says He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, but He's only everywhere through the Holy Spirit. And but where is the Spirit of God? Where is His home? Well, His home is in us. His home is in us. And this is a key part that will make sense later on. But we need to understand that at salvation, at the point of salvation, whenever I get up and I say, hey, who wants to give their heart to Jesus Christ? Who wants to turn their life over to Him and follow Him for the rest of their days? And you're all excited and you say, me, I want to. And you make a decision on the inside to follow Christ. At that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and sets up shop. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it like this. He says, I'm standing at the door knocking, waiting on you to let me in. So the Holy Spirit is constantly knocking at the door of your heart with the desire to enter in and set up shop and make that His home. And whenever we accept Christ, we open the door, He comes in, and now He dwells within us. The Bible uses the word indwelling sometimes. Look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 9. We're going to read a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Over and over, Paul keeps talking about the Spirit dwelling in you. That word dwell we don't use very often, but basically it just means to live, to have a home, to have a place where He resides inside of us. It's not unlike if you had a brother or a sister and their house, let's say, was destroyed by a storm. Or let's say they fell on bad times and didn't have finances. And you said, I've got an extra room in my house. Come live with me. Now that house that belongs to you, you paid for it. also now is the home or the dwelling place of that brother or sister, right? They live in the house with you. But here's the thing. If you are like me, and we'll get into this in just a minute, there are certain rooms in the house that brother or sister can't go in. Amen? Like my bedroom. I don't care who you are. I don't want you in my bedroom. Now, on occasion, during small groups, we will let people throw their kids in our bedroom like they're babies. So that's okay because that baby doesn't know all the mess that's in the bedroom. But I do not want adults hanging out in my bedroom. Amen? That's not even part of the message. I'm just helping you if you ever come to my house. You know where to go and where not to go. Some of you are like that too. So today, here's what I want to boil the Holy Spirit experience down to then. If we understand that He's God, and we all can agree to that, or at least I'm speaking for you saying that we agree to it, and we understand that He's got a job, and then we also understand that He has a home, and that home is in us, now we have to really start breaking down some more of the Scripture because the Bible talks about Him being on us. And so what I want to look at real quick is this. Let's boil the Holy Spirit experience down to two things. In us and on us. Everybody say in us. And say on us. If we can, just for our purposes, let's just say that's it. Like, those are the only two Holy Spirit experiences that we need at this point. That's all we need to understand. Because if we go beyond that, it's going to start getting confusing. So, but we'll get into that part later. But right now, let's look at these two things. Because John 14, verses 15 through 17, look at what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Let's pause there. I love this idea. I've preached this before. It's actually in our life small groups. You've heard of this. But this verse is one of my favorites. Because Jesus says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, my commandments won't be difficult if you love me, right? But then He goes on to say, not only that, but I'll send you a helper. Like, not only will my commandments not be hard, but I'll give you somebody to help you. So in other words, it's like I would tell you, hey, I want you to carry something for me. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. As a matter of fact, it's an easy thing to carry. But because I love you so much, and I really don't want you to strain at all, I'm going to give you somebody to help you carry it, right? You would be like, I don't even need that. But yes, thank you. You know what I mean? I'll take it. And so He says this, I will give you a helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit has different names in the Bible, and the Spirit of Truth is one of those. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Listen to this. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So even Jesus gives us the concept of the Holy Spirit on us, around us, and then a separate in us. And Jesus says it like this. He says, right now He can be on you, but later He will be in you. Later He will be in you. Even Jesus had to go through the process of two works of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that whenever Jesus is baptized, you can read this in Luke, I believe 3 and 4. The Bible says when Jesus is baptized, He goes under the water, He comes back up. We had baptism a couple weeks ago. He goes under the water, He comes back up. When He comes back up, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on Him. Not in Him. On Him. And then later on it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, goes out into the desert and then on into ministry. Do you see the two different things? You can't be on somebody and them be full at the same time. Right? Like that. Those two concepts are different. So there is one act of the Holy Spirit where He is on you and one act of the Holy Spirit where He fills you. He's inside. So we've got to establish that thought. Look at John 20, 22. This is upper room. This is after Jesus has been resurrected, but before He's left, He is meeting with his disciples, and two different people write about it. John and Luke both write about it. And John says this, he says, and when he said, verse 22, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I get it. It says he breathed on them, but then he said, receive. And the terminology there is for them to receive by breathing in, right? And so what they had to do is they received the Holy Spirit inside. A lot of people point to that as the salvation experience. The first true salvation experience was the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit inside of them. And then Luke says in two books, Luke writes Luke and Acts. He writes both of those. They really could be like one book if you read them straight through. But Luke says this in two different occasions, in Luke 24, 49, and then also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, Jesus speaking, basically uses two terms. One, he says, go and wait until the Holy Spirit has clothed you. And another one, he says, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, do either one of those signify something inside? No, they don't. But John already established that they received the Holy Spirit inside. Now, Luke goes on to say, then Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming upon them, clothing them. So two separate experiences, Holy Spirit in us, Holy Spirit on us. So today what I want to do, and I haven't looked at my preaching calendar, I don't know the next time I preach, it may be next week. Are you preaching next week or am I preaching? I'm preaching next week. Okay, so next week we'll talk about the Holy Spirit on us, but today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in us. And so this is where we're going to close the message, but it'll take us a few minutes to do that. But we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does when He's in us. So at salvation, the Holy Spirit enters into our life, and it does a couple of things. Number one, He unites us with Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. In other words, at salvation, and we already read what Paul said earlier about our spirit man being dead until the Holy Spirit comes in and makes him alive, right? And so what happens is whenever we get saved, I want to get saved, I want to follow Jesus all the rest of my life, yes, and we accept Christ into our life, the Holy Spirit enters in to the inmost part of who you are. He goes past your body. He goes past your soul, your emotions and your feelings. And He goes straight to the spirit. And before you've given your heart to Christ, that spirit man is in hibernation, basically. Like he's not really being used. But the Holy Spirit comes in and immediately joins with him, wakes him up, gives him life, and then connects him spiritually back to Jesus Christ. So we become one with Christ in our spirit. Oh man, you guys don't care that much about that, but I really like that idea. I like the idea that whenever God looks at me, He doesn't see an old dead spirit. When God looks at me, He doesn't see a bald man with a beard. He looks at me and He sees Jesus inside of me. In my deepest part of my being, He sees Jesus. Why? Because through His Holy Spirit, I am connected with Him. I am one with Him. So now it's not me living, it's Christ living in me. That's what happens at salvation. See, if we really understood salvation better, whenever we said the prayer and we gave the altar call and whatever it is that we do, I feel like more people might really want to accept Christ if they just understood that when I accept Him, I become one with Him. I become one with Him. The second thing it does is the Bible says that He justifies our spirit. Now, I did take this from our life lesson because I just liked it so much. Clint and I were talking about it the other day, and I just liked the idea. The word justify, if you want just kind of a basic terminology, it's this. It means just as if I had never sinned, right? So He comes in to my old dead spirit and revives it. Ezekiel said, I will take out your old spirit and give you a new one. So He comes in, He revives my spirit, He unites me with Jesus Christ, and He makes me as though I have never sinned before. Isn't that awesome? So now, whenever I stand before Christ, when I stand before God at the judgment day, He doesn't count all of my past sins. Why? Because they're gone. It's just as if I've never sinned. You would be surprised at how many people can't get that concept, though. Because we come to God and we say, God, please forgive me for my sins and I accept Jesus. And then they go home and they say, oh, that didn't really work. He didn't really love me because look at all the stuff I did. And so we say, God, forgive me again. And God's in, he's saying, what are you talking about? I'm looking at you right now. All I see is Jesus. I don't see sin. I just see Jesus. And you're like, yeah, but I did this terrible thing and I said this horrible thing and I did it. And God's saying, I don't understand. I can't compute that because I see Jesus and Jesus is perfect and he is sinless. And that's all I see. I don't see all your mess, right? And so here's the next thing he does. Well, let's look at justified for a minute. Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 24, and then we're going to keep going into verse 1 of chapter 5. It says this, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised the dead, Jesus, our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes in. Holy Spirit comes in, he connects us with Christ. He makes us one with him. He justifies our spirit. Yeah, but Pastor, what if I sin after I get saved? Well, there's no hope for you. You should leave now. No, who doesn't? I mean, I probably sinned this morning. I mean, it's just sin happens to us sometimes. We do things wrong. We are inherently dumb. I get it. But here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he doesn't just live in one room of your house. Amen. He is constantly going and he is the guest I do not want. Because he's going to show up in my bedroom when I'm not there and poke his head in there and say, what's going on in here? Let's come in here and let's see what's happening. Whoa, look at this. Found that. What is that? What does this do? And he's just constantly rummaging through my stuff. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you're thinking, well, you're just making that up, trying to be funny. But, and you're right. But, no, I did get it from Scripture. He wants to fill us, listen to this terminology. This is a good one for you to write down. He wants to fill us to current capacity. And underline the word current. Fill us to current capacity. And you're saying, yeah, but Pastor, didn't you say he already entered into us? And if he comes in and he lives in my life, then isn't that it? Isn't that the only thing he should do? No. Because we give him access to one part of our life. Most of the time when people get saved, they give him access to the spiritual part of their life. Yes, I want to be spiritual. I want to grow in my faith. I want to have eternal life. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But then all of a sudden they hear somebody say something about drinking and they're like, nope, closing that door. Right? Or they say something about lust, well, I'm going to close that door. And they begin closing doors in their house. So look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the thing I want to focus here is be filled with the Spirit, because here's what that word means. I looked up the word filled in the Greek, and filled means to fill to capacity. To fill to capacity. In other words, there's only so much capacity that you have at any one time. So if I invite you into my home, so tonight I'll have a small group and I'll have a couple of people come over to my house, right? Even better than that, because I'll have teenagers come over Tuesday night. We'll host the youth small group Tuesday night and the teenagers will come over. You better know for a fact that this man right here is going to lock some doors in his house. Because after this message, Zach is going to be poking his nose around my house. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to close some doors and I'm going to ask people not to enter into those specific rooms. And the reason is I just may not be ready for them to come into those rooms yet. Maybe I don't know them well enough or I don't trust them well enough to go into those rooms. Maybe I've got something important or something personal in those rooms, and I don't want somebody to go into those rooms. Maybe I've got a mess in one of those rooms. I know that's not anybody in here, but that's me sometimes. Like, I will take stuff, and like, if someone's coming over, and I will just throw it in a room, lock the door, and close it, right? Because, and they're like, oh, your house looks so nice. You cleaned up. I'm like, Yeah, just don't go in that closet right there. Open up that closet and a flood will come out, right? And so we do that. But look, spiritually, we do the same thing. We accept Jesus into our life and we say, Holy Spirit, come in. He fills us and we give him a room. But then there are certain rooms that he does not have access to because we do not allow it. And when Paul's talking about don't be drunk on wine for it leads to debauchery, he's not talking to a bunch of heathens out there. He's talking to church folks like you and me. And what he's saying is, he's saying, listen, there's this list of things that you probably shouldn't be doing. Instead, you should be opening up more doors to the Holy Spirit in your life. Be filled. And this is a process I like to call sanctification. Why? Because the more doors we open, the more rooms the Holy Spirit can come in and clean out of our life. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. How many of you have been saved a long time? Who's been saved a long time? You've given your heart to Christ. Okay. Now, how many of you still struggle with certain sins? Some of y'all did not want to raise your hand. You're like, wait, what? Hold on. You got me raising my hand the first time. I was just in motion. I wasn't really doing it. Right? Some of us still struggle with certain sins. And then how many of you, throughout the time period that you've been saved until now, there have been sins that you struggled with and you got over? Did anybody ever get victory over a particular sin? Here's what happened. How did you get victory? You opened up that door. Maybe opening up that door to the Holy Spirit was confessing it to somebody. Maybe opening up that door to the Holy Spirit was changing a part of your lifestyle. Maybe opening up the door to the Holy Spirit in that area of your life was just simply you praying and saying, Holy Spirit, fill every part of me. Of course, the Holy Spirit knows you're not ready for every part to be filled necessarily, but he wants to fill what you allow him to fill. He will show up wherever you give him access because that's what the Bible says. And that's a process of sanctification, that he wants to make us better. It's similar to the concept that we've read before about the soil, the good soil and the bad soil. Did you know whenever we read the parable about the sower, and it talks about the soil that has rocks in it and the soil that has weeds in it, it doesn't necessarily say that that soil is bad soil. It's not impacted. It just has stuff in it. And the Holy Spirit wants to move on the soil no matter what, but there are certain things in that soil that need to be removed so the Holy Spirit can do his work. And that's what happens to us. There are certain things in our life that need to be removed, certain doors that need to be opened so that the Holy Spirit can have his way and work through us. And I thank God that he doesn't just absolutely open every door in my house at one time. You know why? Because I wouldn't be ready for that. I would have a nervous breakdown. And you would too. But I thank God that he comes in and he says, look, you got a lot of problems, but here's one. Let's work on that one right now. And when we work on that one and we get victory over it, we'll move on to the next one. It's kind of like the way we talked about it in our small group last week. It's kind of like the idea of peeling an onion. He peels back one piece, and then he'll peel back another piece. You know, whenever you're peeling an onion, you don't just run your hand down into it and just start ripping it apart, right? First of all, it's nasty. And second of all, it tears up your onion. What do? You peel one piece and then another piece, and it goes layer by layer, door by door, until all the rooms are open and the Holy Spirit has filled the whole thing. So let's look and see what happens as he fills those rooms. This is the last thing. So if Pastor Shane wants to get ready or whoever's coming up. The last thing the Holy Spirit does when he lives in us. Now, we're not talking about being on us. That's next week. In us. When he's in us, he produces the character of Christ in us. Remember, I talked to you earlier and I said that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ through you? Here's how he does it. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. It sounds like a lot, and it is. But let's read it together. Oh, you read on your paper. I'm going to read it out loud. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit means they're a lifestyle. In other words, have your life dictated by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. In other words, we got a battle going on. And for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, Paul's saying, look, we can plainly see when you're operating in sin. We can plainly see when you're operating just in your flesh. Here's what he says. things like sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that for Auburn, Alabama people. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look, sometimes in error, we go through and we read that list and we start making a list. It's like a checklist. All right, thank you, Paul. Now I know exactly who's not going to heaven. Paul's not giving you a checklist, folks. I like the fact that he ends that with things like this. He says, look, it's evident what's coming out of the flesh. It's evident what comes out of your sin nature. It's evident how your life becomes when you start closing doors to the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to do crazy, nasty mess like this right here. But then he gives us this, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you today. As you open up doors to the Spirit today, here's what he wants to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, in other words, if the Holy Spirit is our source, right? A plant lives by the sun. You take the sun away, the plant ceases to live. And so if we live by the Spirit is the source of our life. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I want to look at today. Instead of you and I looking at that list of bad, nasty things and saying, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I must be good. Let's instead look at the list of the fruits of the Spirit. And let's begin to judge how many doors are open or closed in our life by that. Let's begin to look and say, do I have patience? Am I operating in patience with my children? Am I operating with patience with my boss? Do I have love? Do I have joy? And not only do I have it, is it evident? See, it's one thing to have it in you. It's another thing for it to be a fruit. Because a fruit is on the outside. It starts on the inside, but then it comes out so that everybody can enjoy it. Do I have peace in my life? Am I kind? Am I good? Am I faithful? Am I gentle? Do I have self-control? See, I'm going to tell you right now, if I start looking at those things as opposed to the list of bad things, it really starts changing my perspective on all the doors that are closed in my life. Because sure, I mean, I'm not out, you know, getting drunk. So yeah, I'm not doing that. So mark that one off. But you know what? There's also times when I'm not very patient. There's sometimes when I don't have a lot of joy in my life. And what that makes me realize is I'm not full to capacity yet. And I need to pray again every day. God, fill me to capacity. And don't just fill me to capacity, but show me the areas where you want access. Show me which part of my life you need access to. And then help me to unlock those doors. Maybe this message today is just for me. I don't know. I don't know if you need it or not. But I need it. I need it a lot. Because there are areas of my life today that I just really feel like I need the Holy Spirit to have access to. I really need Him not just to knock on the door. I need Him to break the door down. Amen? I don't even want a door to be there anymore. I don't want to have the ability to close the door. I want God to just have access to my life. It's funny, Perry and I were talking the other day. And we were talking about what if one of our kids just did something bad, you know? Something that was said, you know, something that came across, you know, school or somewhere, and it was like, I can't remember what it was. It may have had to do with pornography or something like that. I can't remember. And I said, well, I'll tell you one of the things I would do. I said, I would pull the door off the hinges. She said, what? Why would you do that? I said, because I wouldn't want that kid to have any privacy whatsoever. I want everywhere he goes or she goes to be seen by me. You know, she's like, that's not realistic. I said, you think it's not realistic? You let that kid struggle. I'm going to rip the door off. Like, I'm going to open up all the blinds. I'm going to just, like, they will have no privacy whatsoever. They need to use the bathroom, they'll come into my bathroom. You know what I mean? They're like no doors whatsoever in the house. And isn't that what we want with Christ? Isn't that what we want with the Holy Spirit? The Bible said the original relationship between God and man was God and Adam. And it says that Adam was naked and not ashamed. In other words, he had no privacy. He had no places in his life that he closed off from God. Instead, he opened everything up to God. And God had access to all of his life. And that's what we want to get back to. That's our goal today.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.